Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
Hello, hello, everybody. It's good to be back. This is Sunday at 6 to 7. The show is always crescendo with your host, Jed, broadcasting live from the CITR 101.9 station from the UBC Point Grey campus on the unceded Musqueam territory. Whew. Well, I hope you all have had a wonderful week. We have a great show for you today. Now, a good friend of mine, actually, he has a great YouTube channel. You got to check it out. Black Geek Media, it's called. And his name is Ryan Matama. He's going to be doing both some a little bit of comedy for us a few songs from now. Why don't you introduce yourself to the people out there, Ryan?
Hey, how's it going, guys? What's up? Ryan Matama, Black Geek Media.
Yeah, Ryan.
I'm new to this radio thing. It's pretty exciting to be here. Thanks for having me on, man.
Of course. You're always welcome on the show, man.
Right on.
No, it was a good chance, too. I got a chance to get to know Ryan. We chilled a little bit, talked a little bit, realized he got to be on the show. He has some great material that you should all check out. Check out the YouTube station he has. Check out Black Geek Media, the Facebook page. Give that a like. We're going to have a little bit of live comedy, some stuff you guys like to say on the radio today. Why don't you just give him a little preview, a little taste of what's happening for later?
I'm a guy. I do some comedy. I do a lot of social comedy. I do a lot of stuff involving race relations and things like that, and I just wanted to break down, and I'm a very over-analytical person, and I like to apply that to hip-hop sometimes, so I just wanted to do a little breakdown of a hip-hop song that I thought that I could extract some stuff out of, and it'll be some good times, it'll be some good fun.
Well, yeah, so the greatest philosophers of all time, from Nietzsche to Plato to Lil Wayne.
Exactly.
Of course. Well, we're all excited to hear that a little bit. Right now, we're going to start off with some music. This is All the People Sleep by, I believe, the Toronto area band Tops. Hope you enjoyed it. It's a little bit of more like dream poppy indie stuff to get you started. A little bit of chill before that. And after that, I'll throw some Joan Baez at you to bring it back for a little bit. But thank you very much for listening. This is Jed, your host of Crescendo on CITR 101.9.
Sometimes it's hard, but nothing seems right. I know. just that the moon is full and you happen to call. And here I sit and on the telephone, hearing a voice I'd known a couple of light years ago, heading straight for a fall. As I remember, your eyes were bluer than robin's eggs. My poetry was lousy, you said. Where are you calling from? A booth in the Midwest. 10 years ago, I bought you some cufflinks. You brought me something we both know what memories can bring. They bring diamonds and rust. Will you burst on the scene? Yes, the girl on the half shell could keep you unharmed. Now I see you standing with brown leaves falling all around and snow in your hair. Now you're smiling out the window of that crummy hotel over Washington Square. Our breath comes out white clouds mingles and another word for it. You were so good with words and at keeping things vague. Cause I need some of that vagueness now. It's all come back too clearly. Yes, I loved you dearly. And if you're offering me diamonds and rust, I've already paid.
Found that canned ham, and I put it in a pot of boiling water, and guess what I'm calling it?
Soup?
Hot ham water.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, nourishing radio.
Mm. So watery, and yet there's a smack of ham to it.
Stephen Harper's reckless cuts to home mail delivery are hurting the most vulnerable in our society. Senior citizens and those with mobility issues are disproportionately affected by these cuts, all while Canada Post is making millions of dollars in profit. Postal workers are campaigning to protect quality jobs and public services in our communities. The post office belongs to you. Join the fight today at SaveCanadaPost.ca.
We are back right now. Right there, I played for you All the People Sleep by Tops, then Diamonds and Rust by Joan Baez. Definitely, if you're not already into folk music, like, if you ever want to get into it, Joan Baez is, like, number one. She was with Bob Dylan, and they had, like, oh, they had a thing in the 60s. But then, you know, everybody just assumes that, like, she's just like, oh, yeah, that girl that dated Bob Dylan. Oh, yeah. But she's also, like, one of the best folk artists of, like, kind of all time. So definitely check out more of Joan Baez's stuff. Give her some love. Coming up next, we're going to get into some Kavinsky and other stuff like that. Woo. But, oh, woo, indeed. But until then, we're just going to, like, chat a little bit with the guest here. So, Ryan, a little bit, just talking about, like, your experience getting into, like, comedy and stuff like that. Was it kind of, like, were you just really into, like, stand-up and realize this is something you wanted to do? Or were you always, like, joking around or something? Like, what made you realize this is something you want to just actively pursue?
Well, I'd say I was in... Okay, so when I graduated from high school, I went to SFU. And then so for I went to SFU and for 6 months, just there, kind of hating my life. And being there, I studied criminology for a bit. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if this was, like, what I really wanted to do. I kind of just thought that, okay, maybe I should just be going to university. I should just be, you know, studying something. And then criminology seemed like kind of the closest thing. And then one day, like, my one really good buddy of mine, he decided to try out stand-up. But he, like, he was trying to keep it on the down low. He, like, called, like, five of his buddies, one of myself included. And he's like, hey, man, I'm going to be doing this stand-up thing, but... don't tell too many people about it. I just want to, like, keep it on the DL. So we went over and we saw this open mic that he did. And he bombed. Like, I don't know if he's listening right now, but he was pretty terrible. And he bombed.
That's how you really feel.
He bombed, but I saw it and I was like, oh, this is great. Like, this is, like, I like the idea of stand-up. Like, I've never seen live comedy before like that. And I'm like, I just saw these people, like, just going up and telling jokes and, you know, relating it to their life. And I'm like, this is something I have to do. So the very next week, I signed up to go do an open mic at a different place called Kino Cafe. And that was my very first stand-up set that I did. And it went pretty well, right? I told some jokes about the Vancouver Canucks and Tiger Woods. At that time, he was in that scandal with all the women or whatever. And so I told some jokes about that, and it actually went well. And then I was like, oh, cool, I have to do this. And then every show after that for about a month was terrible for some reason. I don't know what happened, but it was like I just started to suck. And then so I just had to keep going from there. But eventually I kind of found my stride and was able to, you know, make something with it.
I'm not saying that I'm glad that it ended up sucking. But if the story went, you saw your friend bomb and then you did well and that was the end of it, that'd be really sad.
Like, yeah, and you're like,
oh,
right.
My friend did really bad. Then I ended up doing better and now I'm good at it.
That's the story. That's exactly. It's just like, you know, beginner's luck, rookie of the year right here.
MVP.
Here I am, man. Here I am.
Awesome. But, like, so before actually seeing, like, your friend just, like, you know, go for it, because even, like, I don't know, like, even going up and being able to bomb and then living your life not in shame, I feel like is definitely hard, especially for people that are already, like, extroverted to the point of them worried about, like, the response they're getting from an audience. Like, that can be rough. Like, the theater experience I've had, it's, like, one of the roughest things is going up and realizing that something you find very entertaining is entertaining to only you.
Yeah. That's the worst. But, like, I think it's always about, like, just how you present your material and how you present what's on your mind. Like, I always think that's just the biggest thing. And it's like, there are people who can go up and they can make, like, anything funny. Like, they can talk about something that's so abstract and so out there and they can make it funny. It's just, like, the confidence in their delivery and just, like, how are they able to put it into words that they can relate it to the average person, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's up to you, like, how you put it down. But, like, yeah, like, that's the worst. You're, like, you tell a joke and you're like, oh, just me? Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, no one's laughing. Everyone's just... The worst is, like, the blank stare you get from a crowd and they're just, like, looking at you and they're just, like... They're just, like, what are you? Like, what are you doing?
What are you trying to do here? That's why I love comics like Mitch Hedberg and stuff. It's just, like, by his... his stuff is all one-liners mostly. So it's, like, the joke is over before you expect it to be. But he's so confident and chill about it that you, like, you feel like you're out of it. For the first time, it's like, oh, he said something over my head, I guess. When it's really just bizarre.
Yeah.
It's, like, still amazingly funny. Like, one of his jokes is, like, escalators can't break down. they can only become stairs.
Yeah.
And just like, if you go to like a traditional comedy show or just this like a really big joke created for a different punchline, you'd be like, well, that's the joke, that's it?
Yeah.
But like, if you're confident enough and you're saying it, like you can create a completely new trend in how like jokes are told.
That, exactly. And I actually totally think that Mitch Hedberg did that. I think he kind of like brought back one-liners, you know, like I think he made one-liners kind of huge. Like a lot of one-liner comics that I meet, they're like, oh yeah, like Mitch Hedberg is, you know, definitely. And like, yeah, because like he has these weird observations, right? That you don't think of like every single day, and then he just puts it in a way, like he just sums it up so well that it's like, boom, yeah, like that's hilarious, right? Yeah. I get that, like that's funny. So.
Well, yeah, because I feel like the art of the one-liner just went away too, because you had things like in vaudeville, like people like Eddie Cantor in like the 20s, who was like, they'd go up.
It's like, oh, you go way back.
Well, it's like, well, because that's where it really started.
It's like, man, that Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin stuff. George Carlin, you know, Richard Pryor, Charlie Chaplin, all the modern ones.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, because it's like back then it was a variety show, so you do the one-liner, you do the song, you do the dance. But so you can't have like this huge 20-minute set of just this abstract stand-up because there's all that other stuff going on. Oh, yeah. So once stand-up developed to just be the stand-up material, like one-liners kind of went away.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's one thing to create like a really weird 20-minute story with a punchline and versus 20 minutes of just one joke after joke after joke after joke. Like that's just like...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, if having like a 45-minute special of just one-liners, like that's kind of difficult.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I know that Mitch Hedberg actually had like, I think he did a Comedy Central Presents and it was like 22 minutes, but I don't know, like the pacing, like how do you keep that up? Like I couldn't do that. Like,
yeah. It's ridiculous. But yeah, that's awesome. So it's like, did you have any like really specific like people that you thought is like, this is like my favorite stand-up before you saw your friend perform?
Oh yeah, totally. Oh, okay, yeah. Like I'd say the first one was Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Like the first stand-up special that I remember watching in its entirety was Never Scared in 2004. Mm-hmm. And I was always talking about like George Bush, of course, like the war in Iraq. He was talking about like Michael Jackson, like, you know, doing another kid or whatever, something
yeah,
like that, or whatever it was. It's like, another kid? that was like the first stand-up special. I'm like, wow, like that's stand-up, that's cool.
Oh,
like,
man.
You know, like, and then like, I think I had this thing when I was like in grade 8. Like I went to go visit my dad in this town called Elko, Nevada. My dad lives in Elko, Nevada. And there's like nothing to do there, right? Mm-hmm. Like just fuck all.
Yeah.
So, like what I would just do is I just watch TBS like every day, and then I watch like a lot of Seinfeld and you know, a lot of Friends and even like I was 13 at the time, so I also watched That's So Raven too.
Oh yeah.
And so like that was what I like that summer, like I got more interested in comedy a lot as well, and that was like kind of like the birth of like I'd say like maybe my comedic thinking, like, oh, like being funny is something that I get enjoyment out of. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, it's just you have to just immerse yourself in it first, and it's like, I think it's definitely like the biggest part is going from just completely like becoming like, you have to become a television addict, I feel like, to get into comedy at some point.
Yeah.
Just because you have to just absorb the media, and then it's like, but then the important part is, you know, applying it, which is like, that's like the big step, which is like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like, I don't know, especially with me, like people like me, if I've seen like other people say, oh, I really want to do like this and that, I think like this because of the shows I watch. But it's like, you have to take that leap of faith and just try to perform it, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, like every comic starts on the live stage, right?
Yeah.
Like every comic probably either starts like improv or stand up, like, you know, and everyone who has like a television show started, like the majority of them started off that way. They were doing, they were doing stand up or they were doing improv or something like that. Like, yeah, you can't just jump into television and boom, be like, unless you're like an actor, you go the acting route and you're kind of more suited to be a comedic actor, right? But the majority of them, it's like, oh, like I was a stand-up comic, and then like they're like, hey, do you want a show? And then you get like the kit, right?
Exactly,
which is what Chris
yeah.
Rock says. Like, you get the kit, and it's like you stand up, you know, television show and specials and all that kind of stuff, right?
Most definitely, man.
So,
yeah, this is for the new listeners, this is Ryan Matama, my guest today.
Yep.
He's going to be doing another bit of his comedy bits coming up in a couple songs from now. Right now we're going to be playing some more tracks for you guys out there. This is Night Call by Kavinsky. You've seen the movie Drive, you'll love it, you'll remember it. Fantastic song, very like almost kind of Daft Punky, but definitely a little more 80s synth.
He helped produce that.
He did.
Yeah, the guy Eminem DeCristo, whatever his name is, he helped produce that song, actually.
For the listeners that can't see me right now, I have no idea who that guy is, but I was nodding along, and it looked like I knew.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah. He's half a Daft Punk.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, him. Oh, I loved his early work. Well, you know. So here's Night Call with Kavinsky. Thank you for listening, everybody.
when I don't tell you how I feel. I want to drive you through the night, down the hills. I gotta tell you something you don't want to hear. I'm gonna show you where it's dark, but have no fear.
There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same.
I'm giving you a night call to tell you how I feel. I want to drive you through the night, down the hills. I gotta tell you something you don't want to hear. I'm gonna show you where it's dark, but have no fear.
There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you, there's something inside you, it's hard to explain.
Queen. ransacks and mangles tracks when I'm steaming out your mind frame. Rough to rugged like dreadlocks, naps to knock the blocks off a mediocre man from here to Bangkok. I manifest beyond the physical, individual criteria, press up our barrier, the more the merrier. When Mr. Snuffle up the serious rhymes, reckless regardless, I should have thought this. You never win this, you finish for more the flavor that you savor. It's my pleasure, whatever you order, we're provided. It's been decided, but all concerned, you've earned one from the big butter. So yo, say the drama for your mama. You came with it, but got caught up cause I'm too fly. That's how it goes, Mr. Nice Guy. I jump on it like a Christmas jock. Tick tock, flip flop, and pop will never stop. So as you digging this sound and fool, you're bouncing to the groove. To bite the concept, you bit up more than you can chew. I get screwed when punk ass music wanna flex. Styles are too complex, so ooh, you better digest. Back and easy, you are beginning to get me vexed. No matter what, you can't stop the flex when it wrecks. So sort the grass through thread and then you hot, hot, hot. As I drop, drop, drop. Now this you got, we got more than what you bargained for. So now the ghetto concept is who you asking for. But don't worry, just stay tuned to the boomer. Zoom, zoomer, we got the bomb, the rumor. Easy on the motion, 9 to 3 was locomotion. 9 to 4 was here, and 9 to 5 we're going to coast it. Easy on the motion, 9 to 3 was locomotion. 9 to 4 was here, and 9 to 5 we're going to coast it. Easy on the motion, 9 to 3 was locomotion. 9 to 4 was here, and 9 to 5 we're going to coast it. Easy on the motion, 9 to 3 was locomotion. 9 to 4 was here, and 9 to 5 we're going. Stripes upon stripes without the bars, without the lights, the LA lights, so that's the biggest baits glaring in the nights. The hike too tight with a squeeze, or should I say these, or the freeze that makes me guess the sneeze and allergies. So please, never ask a gift bomb with these, or always wish it for your ooh, I mean, or squeeze it for your visa. Steady dissing up my topic of shoes, I know about the hits, forget about the clues and the shoes. I stay cool with my raps, wraps it up with the seal. My belly's kinda molded, so I'm jonesing for a meal, but yo, for real, I don't steal, attacks the whites or blacks, or should I say the whatever the case. MCs should follow me not, cause they can never itch up in a size 10 or do the things I do. I wonder what do them. I'm coming with new blends of puns and phrases with many stages, fools rhymes like cages. The means to me is when you be incarcerated, intellect like Peter Tosh. We can never be faded, so I'm back out our whack crew, get to dance and take over. It's like that. Rubbish gets no play, much like pea soup. He gets a finger, take a holiday. Who's that floats in all verses? Tight like Fort Knox and old ladies to their verses. Swing De Niro, Benito Incognito. Tune from Mr. Alex around the tell your Uncle Guido. You kept kicking but couldn't kick up his leg. Yo, your manny Jackie Chan, that's why you're still dropping your gang. Bang to boogie, don't rely on fortune cookies. Tell the fortune tellers ain't no lucky for, cause I'm the best seller. I stop but to drop the moves on your jumpy. Skills are essential, such as the Guinness, Dalton. Yes, I can heal from Rexdale right down to Maui. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and then I'm outie. Outie 5,000, I rouse when it's clever. Send for the hearse, there ain't a verse that does it better.
Alrighty, without further ado, we are back. This is CITR 101.9, your host Jed on the show Crescendo. Now our esteemed guest Ryan Matama is going to get into his bit for us. What do you have for us today, Ryan?
Well, I have the song, Drake's Worst Behavior, and we're going to over-intellectualize this song.
Fantastic.
To the point where we give it meaning.
Let's go. And for the listeners out there, just remember, some vulgar language may be ahead, so just prepare the little ears of yours, but it is well worth it, and I hope you keep listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Over-Intellectualizing Gangsta Rap. My name is Ryan Matama from Black Geek Media, and today we're going to do a little segment I like to call Over-Intellectualizing Gangsta Rap, the segment where we take a seemingly meaningless and vapid hip-hop track and scrupulously analyze it to the point where it seems like we're reading Hemingway. Today's song on the chopping block is Worst Behavior by Drake. Released in late 2013, it's a completely spastic fuck the haters anthem littered with Tourette style outbursts all over the track and concluding with a nice verse where Drake reminisces about his ascent to rap stardom. Now, I will admit, when I first listened to this track, I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about, but I was very amused by Drake's machismo-filled verbal outbursts and the disjointed production by DJ Dahi. But after multiple listens and having certain lines stick in my head, such as "motherfuckers never loved us" and "they used to never want to hear us," I then watched the video and I saw that it was filled with black people. It made me start to think that Drake was onto a hidden deeper message in this track, with many of the lines seeming to parallel the history of American race relations. Now, you probably think that I'm smoking crack, but I will break down some of the lines Drake has in this song, and I will show you that Drake actually might be painting a picture of African American history. First clip. Motherfucker never loved her. Fucker never loved her. Seems simple, right? Wrong. The flagship line of the song repeating ad infinitum, this line relates to the negative history black America has had with the American government. You know, slavery and shit. Segregation. Mass incarceration. Remember? Motherfucker? Pretty self-explanatory. Next clip. Finish on my worst behavior. No? They used to never want to hear us. This line relates to the black voice in general, as well as any medium that was used to communicate this voice. What comes to mind here, for me, is how black musicians, activists, politicians, and writers, to name a few, could never have their voice heard by mainstream America. Black musicians were often not allowed to perform to white audiences. That's why Elvis was so popular. But nowadays, racism isn't as strong as it used to be, and everybody wants to listen to rap, rock and roll, blues, or any other genre they can get their hands on. Next clip. After decades of having black music neglected by white audiences, many acts who were victims of discrimination during their time are now revered by white audiences around the globe, such as Michael Jackson, James Brown, B.B. King, Chuck Berry, Miles Davis. Case in point, StuffWhitePeopleLike.com, number 116, black music that black people don't listen to anymore. Next clip. But your shit is like the police asking us questions. Nigga, we don't know shit. White youth have shown a widespread interest in many forms of black music, such as jazz, rock and roll, funk, and rap. But how many black people do the same for white genres of music? How many black people do you know that own the entire discography of Garth Brooks or are privy to the history of polka? What Drake is trying to say here is, you know about our music, but like the police asking us questions, we don't know shit about yours. Next clip. Obama's president, hip-hop is now synonymous with pop culture, and white dudes in fitted caps and sag pants are not uncommon. It seems that white America is somewhat apologetic for its exclusive past towards black America. Plus, there are a lot of white kids who would indeed love to roll one with their favorite weed-smoking hip-hop act. Next clip. Always say that the boy, but not a boy, is the man, motherfucker, I done grew up. This one is pretty self-explanatory. The boy was a derogatory term that was sometimes applied to black youth, and now at least one of these boys, you can't see me doing air quotes, boys, Obama, is running the shit, meaning that he's the man. Motherfucker, he don't grow it up. Drake is pointing out that over time, African Americans have graduated from a position of subordination to a position of power and influence. Next clip. In this line, Drake seems to be echoing the sentiment of former civil rights activist Malcolm X. Malcolm X always used to say, black power by any means necessary. And Drake is obviously paraphrasing here. Next clip. You owe me. You owe me. Since emancipation of the slaves in 1865, there have been plenty of debates about whether or not African Americans should receive reparations for slavery. At least we know where Drake stands on this controversial issue. And the final clip. Bitch, you better have my money when I come for the shit like ODB. Bitch, you There are a lot of black entertainers like Drake himself, as well as athletes and other prominent black personalities that are now getting paid by white-owned corporations. Drake is reminding them that when we ask for it, they better have our money. And that's pretty much it. I can't really break down the third verse in the same way, because at this point, Drake is really only rapping about his personal come-up. I know that Drake isn't really the type to apply social commentary to his lyrics, but I think he was subliminally doing it here. Drake, I apologize for all the times I've hated on you, because this is nothing short of genius. Thank you for listening. Ryan Matama, and this has been Over-Intellectualizing Gangsta Rap. Enjoy your day, and have a safe and responsible Black History Month.
Well, thank you very much. I never realized
that there was that much intellectualism in that song.
Oh, it's honestly. There's so much depth in that.
Wow, I feel like I've read some philosophy books in my time, but nothing that kind of pales in comparison to the levels of depth.
It's better than Tolstoy.
Oh my God. Oh, of course. Well, yes, Tolstoy. Yes. Of course. All right, well, coming back to the music, everybody. That was Ryan Matama from Black Geek Media. Definitely give his page a like, his YouTube channel a subscribe, and his videos a listen. Right now, we're getting back into more of the music. This is coming up right now, a new group I found. This is the Black Ox Orchestra. Now, some of the former members, actually one of the former members of Godspeed You Black Emperor, who was, it was a big, like, Montreal-based kind of shoegazy post-rock group. One of them actually, the violin player, in fact, created more of a Yiddish folk kind of klezmer revival band, apparently, and some really good tunes. So here's Black Ox Orchestra with I Ve Dem Taten.
Hand to rock and roll, keep living, living a bee, and yeah, lem a break. This sun it turns and in on get loafen, when he meets to get doom in Lazarus. This sun it turns and in on get loafen, when he meets to get doom. Norvegian.
In your head, marching about all the stories you tell to your friends and neighbors. Look at the books on my shelf, I feel sorry for myself. Look at the books on my shelf, I feel sorry for myself. Look at the books on my shelf, I feel sorry for myself. My heart is bigger than yours. My heart is bigger than
and the smell of gasoline. Two kids on a broken trampoline. Four walls and the smell of gasoline. Two kids on a broken trampoline. Remember back when I was 17 and the train tracks looked so good to me. Four walls and the smell of gasoline. Two kids on a broken trampoline.
Alrighty, that right there was My Heart is Bigger Than Yours by Tommy Alto. They're now known as Hawking. Definitely keep on the lookout for them. Like their Facebook page as well. Had them on the show a few weeks back. Fantastic math pop group. Before that was Bagan by Madcon. And before that was As They Them Taten by Black Ox Orchestra. Check all those out. Definitely very diverse sounding.
You nailed that Norwegian there. It was perfect. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I do try. So right before the show's going to end with the last little bit of music, Ryan had a little bit of a story for us, too, to just send us off. So what was that? What was that that little tale you wanted to spin for us?
So I work at a hotel, right? And I do graveyard shifts. And, when you do graveyard shifts, what sucks about it is you got to deal with a lot of stupid people. What's great about it is that you have a lot of stories to tell when it's 7 in the morning and you go home. The craziest thing that I ever got a gratuity for, craziest thing that I ever got tip for, was when someone when someone accidentally said the N-word, and I got $20 because of it. The story is, I was working, and this guy comes in the taxi cab, and then he's dropping off, and I open up the taxi door, and I said, sir, are you dropping off right now? Someone else might need to use this cab, and then I was distracted, something other thing was going around me, and the guy was responding to me. He's like, oh, yeah, man, I'm just dropping off my nigga here. He's dropping me off. And I didn't actually hear him, but he comes back to me, 2 minutes later. He's like, yo, I'm so sorry, man, dude. And I'm like, what? He's like, yo, I called the cab driver my nigga, man. He's like, I didn't mean it, man. And he just pulls out a $20 nonchalantly and gives it to me. And that was the first ever reparations that I had ever received, ever. So that was it was amazing. And there's a black valet guy who was also working that night, and I didn't know. I'm like, should I split this with you? I didn't know that. Should we go 50-50 on it? So yeah, that's reparations do happen. So
I'm glad that happened, but it's just so confusing. At the point you said that you didn't hear him, I don't know why he'd explain it at that point.
Yeah, I know, exactly. He's I'm like, what? I obviously didn't know what he was talking about. He's
no, I need to tell you that I said nigga, and I wasn't supposed to.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Then he gives me $20. So I'm like, oh, all right, sure, whatever.
Have a good night, sir.
Like, you could have said it for free, but...
Dude, I got to start working night shifts. That's awesome.
I know. This does not happen before 10 p.m. It will not happen before 10 p.m. or after 7 a.m.
Oh, well, fantastic. So, all right. The last few songs that we're going to be spinning today, this is All We've Ever Known by the Rural Alberta Advantage, and after that I'll be playing We Are What You Say by the great Dead Sarah. Thank you very much for coming on, Ryan. I hope to see you again.
Thank you very much. I had so much fun.
Of course,
appreciate it.
Welcome anytime. So without further ado, here is the Rural Alberta Advantage with All We've Ever Known on CITR 101.9. Your host, Jed of Crescendo. Hope you all have a fantastic week.
The wind is wrapping around. terrified ghost realize in dusty corner, sleepy eyes. For all she knows, she's on her own. It's alright, she's all we've ever known. All along, she's tracking in the storm. Alright, she's all we've ever
Right now, this is We Are What We Say by Dead Sara, and coming up next, I hope you keep on listening. Next up is More Than Human with your host, Gareth. Have a great week, everybody.